Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score. Well, Blackhawks convention is here tomorrow. We will be there live. Dylan Sakura is in our studio, and we will talk some Blackhawks hockey. How big an impact can this young man have on this Blackhawks team? We'll discuss with him in our studio next. Hey, who cares if Chris Bryant's back on the DL? Who cares if Tyler Chatwood walked another 300 batters? Cubs offense saves the day, down 2 in the 9th. David Bodie ties it, and then Anthony Rizzo wins it, back-to-back to win it. Cubs salvage a split in dramatic fashion, and is more help for the rotation on the way. Man, it's callus building time in Bourbonnais. It's the first practice with live hitting full pads of Camp Nagy. Good news, Roquan Smith didn't take a lick. Bad news, Roquan Smith's holdout continues. And welcome in Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. Hope you had a really good day. Let's meet the panel for today's show from The Athletic. He's our guy. He is Chris Cook from the Tribune. He is the lead columnist. He is David Haw. Patrick Boyle, our Blackhawks pre- and post-game host. Chris will join us in a little bit. And joining us from the Hawks, he is Dylan Sakura. How you doing?
Dude, really good. Thanks for having me, guys.
How's training going up in Toronto?
Yeah, it's going good. Just in Whitby, and I got to train with my brother, and a lot of good pros down there, so it's going really
good.
What
have people told you about the Blackhawk convention, and what do you expect this weekend?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things. Obviously I haven't been yet, but just talking to DeBrincat and some of the younger guys, they really enjoy it, and whenever you can get out and see the fans, and they kind of go crazy for you there, so it should be exciting.
Small sample size. You played 5 games with the Hawks last year. You did have 3 helpers. What was your biggest takeaway from your first taste of the NHL?
Yeah, I think just the speed and the skill. There's no weak links out there, and everyone's pretty big and strong out there. And for me, I think the 5 games was nice just to get a little taste of it, and obviously get your feet wet and be able to meet the guys. And coming into the stuff like the convention now, you kind of feel a little bit more comfortable, so it's a little easier on me.
Now, you were drafted by the Hawks back in 2014. You went to Northeastern, and you spent all 4 years there. When you had this decision, whether you were going to sign with the Blackhawks or become a free agent, how difficult was that decision for you?
It wasn't too difficult, actually. It was kind of always a part of my plan. And, to have all 4 years at Northeastern was pretty special. And, I wouldn't take that back for the world. And, it's tough to pass up on an opportunity like Chicago Blackhawks.
So your brother plays at Rockford, and so how much have you guys talked about having great camps together, playing together? Has that been a dream of yours for a very long time?
Yeah, definitely. He helped me a lot throughout the year, just asking questions, and obviously him being in the organization, he kind of knew where I would fit in, and he obviously knows the guys, and to have mutual friends with him now there and be in the same organization is pretty special.
Do you think there'll be some level of a chip on everybody's shoulder that this is Chicago Blackhawks? They've won 3 cups since 2010, and mm-hmm. to not go to the playoffs and the year before to get knocked out in round one, people are ticked off.
Yeah, definitely. I think going into camp, I remember talking to Seabrook at the end of the year, and he just kind of said everyone's just a number there and everyone's going to make it. And I think that's my biggest plan right now, is just going in there and just trying to make the team.
Do you call him Mr. Seabrook?
I guess Seabs, yeah, I guess.
Because I think when he started the NHL, you might have been grade school.
Yeah, because my first game was his 1,000, so kind of full circle there. It was pretty crazy.
Wow.
So you had a great career at Northeastern. You're a Hobey Baker Award finalist. You guys are in the tournament. You lose to Michigan, but you have in the balance to go to the NHL like within a day. I mean, it happened so quickly. Next thing you know, Seabrook's fist bumping you and you're heading out to the United Center for your first game. What was that emotion like, seeing your career come to an end abruptly and then realizing that you're turning the page and you're starting a new chapter within days?
Yeah, it was a pretty crazy 24 hours there, because I remember we lost up in Worcester, and then I was on the plane to Chicago the next day. And when you get here, you kind of forget about the sting that was left behind. And it was a little crazy, but being able to settle in for the first 5 games was awesome.
What do you remember about that first night?
I remember it was Seabrook's first or 1,000th game, and obviously with the whole Scott Foster situation, it made it pretty crazy. And I know even in the summer, people are always asking me about that, the goalie situation there. So
you're cool. You're sitting on the bench, right? It's your first NHL game. You've dreamt about this all along. Seabrook's playing in his 1,000th game, and the accountant from the rafters is brought down, and they're chanting 21,000, Foster, Foster. Are you going, what the hell happened here? What route did I take to the NHL? I mean, it was one of the most surreal things I've ever seen in sports.
Yeah. I mean, in the moment, you didn't realize how crazy it was. And then I remember looking at a bench and you saw Coach Q's, pretty serious guy, kind of smiling, laughing. And, you know, after that, I think every save he made, the hole, there was a standing ovation. So definitely a night I'll never forget.
What is Joel like for a young guy? I mean, he's pretty intense. He doesn't smile a lot. He's a heck of a hockey coach. He's a Hall of Famer. What is that like?
First impression was obviously awesome with him. And he's a guy that's really respected around the league. And just from talking to people, he's obviously one of the greatest coaches of all time. And I think that's a pretty fortunate to start your career with a guy like that behind the bench.
Does your uncle know Joel? I heard there might be a connection there.
Yeah, they have a little bit of horse racing.
Oh, another one of those guys.
loves the ponies.
Yeah. I don't understand. Everybody in hockey seems to love the ponies. Has he given you any inside dirt on Q?
No, I haven't got any.
No, okay.
Is it intimidating to try to – he's your coach. This is a guy that's a Hall of Fame coach. You're young, and he's been around a long time. What's that like?
Yeah, it's definitely a little intimidating at the start, but I think as the season will go on and when you get to know him a little more, then, you know, he's just a hockey coach at the end of the day and someone that's trying to help you out. So,
to go from college to United Center, 23,000. I mean, it's an amazing scene, the national anthem, all of it. You're standing there, the anthem's playing, which is legendary. You're looking around, and Pat asked you about your first game. But what's going through your mind, like, wow, this is crazy?
Yeah, I think at school we have the Bean Hot, which is at the Boston Garden. So I used to play in front of a smaller crowd, but not that big. But, yeah, I remember during the national anthem I couldn't even hear anything. It was pretty crazy. But I think when you're in the moment, you kind of just focus on playing hockey and kind of put that all in the background.
Did you take any grief in Boston going to college there about being a Blackhawk property guy who's going to be going to a team that, you know, they have had some problems with over the years?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I think most of the people I was surrounded by were out of the state, so not too many Boston fans.
I asked Dylan before we went on, I said, what was one of the NHL players that you looked up to as a kid? And your answer was?
Patrick Kane.
That's crazy. I mean, it's hard to believe, but, you know, Patrick Kane, you know, this is year 12.
Well, he was for our
him.
Little kid here.
I know.
Elder statesman.
Honest to God, the first he gets drafted, he goes to sing at Wrigley Field, the seventh inning stretch. I go to get something to drink because I'm doing the pre and the post. I walk in, and I'm like, can I help you, young man? I had no idea.
He looked younger than he looked.
Yeah. He goes, I'm actually singing tonight. I said, who are you? I was drafted by the Blackhawks. Number one overall, by the way. Couldn't believe it.
Hockey guy.
Yeah. by the way, right now on NBCSportsChicago.com and on all social media platforms, we're looking back to 2009, the start of this dynasty, and there's a great stuff coming out with Patrick Kane, and it's just funny to see how young he looks back then. It's
incredible.
It's incredible. And remember, you know, we talk about Chevy, who sponsors this show. The first time they decide to have Kane and Taves sponsor, they wrote down the wrong name. Like, nobody knew how to spell Taves' name.
And let alone say it.
Yeah, let alone say it.
Or and pronounce it. It was like, yeah, been, what? Toes?
They've been
who's
spokesman
this guy?
For, you know, a dozen.
What's he like for a young guy as a captain playing for a guy who commands that much respect?
Yeah, he was awesome. I think, you know, from day one, from when I got there, he was kind of the guy that was reaching out to the younger guys. And I remember, like, the first day kind of asking if you need her at home or being there. And you know, obviously he wasn't playing the five games I was there, but you know, he's a funny guy and always looking for a laugh.
What's your ideal role? If things go as well as you hope they go, what role are you playing opening night?
Like I said, for me, just trying to make the roster right now, and just wherever I fit in the lineup, that's where I'll play. And hopefully, obviously I'm an offensive guy, so hopefully I can kind of contribute up and down the lineup.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. You'll enjoy the convention. And then you're going to be back on skates and playing hockey every day. It's pretty quick. Yeah. Your summer goes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does.
All right, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. Again, make sure you tune in tomorrow night at 6. Sports Talk Live will be on location at Blackhawks Convention. Scheduled to join us on the show, El Capitan, Jonathan Toews, two-time Norris Trophy winner, Chris Chelios. It's all tomorrow. Remember, opening ceremonies live at 5. PB will have it for you. And then STL at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago. Not the starting rotation struggles if the lineup can come up big in the ninth inning like they did today. Tyler Chatwood walked 6 more. But Anthony Rizzo walks off the winner after David Bode tied it. Cubs win again without Chris Bryant. And they actually thrive while their best hitter is on the DL.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
That was a lot of fun. If you're a Cub fan, it doesn't get much better than that, winning on back-to-back jacks. Last time the Cubs won a game on back-to-back leading to a walk-off was April 16th, 2004, when Sammy Sosa and Moises Alou turned the trick. Chris Cook now joins us here on set. He's David Hom, David Kaplan. Okay, that was ridiculous.
Who would have had David Bode as the guy who would be hit the first of the back-to-back? Nobody. That's going to be in contention and have a special year needs a guy like David Bode.
Right.
Somebody like that emerges. You know what? It's only July 26th, but you're going to remember this one for a while.
Yeah, every team that goes very far and gets into the postseason has days like this where kind of defining moments of a season. And I know they've got the lead already, but this is one that can springboard them right into St. Louis, and they probably don't need a plane to go, right? I heard that on the radio coming in. An amazing atmosphere at Wrigley Field. Bode's a great story, called up today, right? And then makes a great play in the field to save a couple of runs, and then hits the home run. Again, I think Cubs fans are remembering this one for a long time, and when you look back at the season in the highlight package, this is a day that will be prominently featured.
Because look at the alternative. If you lose this game in the ninth and you go into St. Louis after losing a home series for the first time in a long time, then the tone begins a little bit to be worrisome. You worry about the 6 walks by Tyler Chatwood. You worry about everyone else getting a reliever at the trade deadline but the Cubs. You worry about Chris Bryant's shoulder being worse than maybe it is. Now, this buys you some time. This creates some goodwill. And it shows that you have a flair for drama. This is a team that comes back a lot. They have a lot of come-from-behind victories, and today was probably the most inspiring one.
Yeah, the Rizzo home run, I mean, he hadn't homered since June the 24th. His average keeps creeping up. He's now in the mid or high 260s, where he was at .149 on May 1st. So he's starting to make progress. But that home run literally sounded like a shotgun went off.
And a changeup, too. He's sitting on a changeup,
right,
which is,
He said, I'm looking fastball, but I see what's coming, and he crushed
it. And he goes down to get it. He goes down to get it and looks like he generates more power because he goes down to get it and he drives it a mile. That was still going. You like to see that because of his power and him regaining that. But also, this guy, since going at leadoff, I mean, it's a discussion that is ongoing, but he keeps it going. Is this the right spot for him? How long does this last? Why not?
All right, let's talk about Chris Bryant, because not good news. Bryant back to the 10-day DL for the second time in less than 2 weeks. And this is a problem. A second MRI they're doing today to check that sore shoulder to see if there is maybe something they missed or something else has occurred since the last one. Look, it's what, the 26th of July?
Yeah.
He's already now shut down again. You've got to think at least 2 weeks to let it calm down.
Okay, so we're into basically the 12th of August, somewhere around there.
Mid-August.
At least. Then you got to start doing some strengthening. You're going to have to do a rehab assignment. I mean, I don't see any scenario that even in if they find nothing that this guy plays before September 1.
And late you know, August. Cap, that sounds more ominous than it is because you do have a roster that with depth. You're protected at this position. You don't want to lose an MVP-type guy like Chris Bryant. I mean, because he's Chris Bryant. But you would rather have him whole for September than trying to fight through something because he continues to try to, you know, oh, ignore it. It's nagging. It'll get better. Make it get better. Rest is the only thing. If rest is the only way to help it, rest all you need to until you really need them.
What you worry about is how it impacts his swing, because I think Joe was talking about how he's altered his swing because of the pain when he follows
through.
Yeah,
he normally has this whip action, and they're trying to see if they can, you know, do something to take some of the heat off.
If you talk to Chris Bryant, he's very in tune with his swing. He knows exactly where his launch angle is, where he should be coming through the zone. So that's worrisome if it doesn't get better, or it gets to the point where he can play, but he doesn't have that natural swing. But, you know, David's right. Get him healthy for late September and early October. That's when you need him.
75% of Chris Bryant is better than 100% of a lot of players, even if he's not providing you the power that you're accustomed to. He means a lot defensively. He is still a very good selective hitter at the plate. You know, he's not going to give you the power numbers if he comes back and he's banged up a little bit, but this may be one of those seasons where you just have to endure that and get over that and rely on other people.
It's unbelievable. Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. What is your bigger concern right now? The Cubs' rotation struggles? Chris Bryant's shoulder. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. How would you guys vote?
Well, I think Theo's going to go out and get himself another pitcher. So I think not having Chris Bryant healthy down the stretch and into the playoffs would be a bigger concern for me.
The second stint on the disabled list makes this a little bit more of a concern for Chris Bryant. I would vote Chris Bryant's shoulder. I would vote second, Brandon Morrow's arm, and then the rotation, because then the rotation will take care of itself, either through trade or through just guys getting better, or both. So I don't worry about the starting pitching as much as I would worry about the health of Bryant and Morrow.
Yeah, for me, I would probably say it's Chris Bryant simply because he's the MVP. He's, you know, just a phenomenal offensive player. But the rotation struggles. Chatwood walked six more today. You got to get something out of Hendricks. Got to get better. Quintana's got to get better. And then you got to hope that Darvish or somebody that comes in trade can fill in.
Cap, does stubbornness factor in to the Chatwood handling at all in your mind? Do you think that there's an element of the Cubs' mindset that says we're going to continue to put him out there despite these struggles with control?
Don't have any other options.
Well, you do. I mean, you can make a deal.
You want Luke Farrell?
No.
You want Eddie Butler?
I don't think so.
The Cubs, I believe, are 10-2 his last 12 starts as a team.
Will their devotion to Tyler Chatwood or insistence on using him every fifth day prevent them from making a move for a starter?
That's what is more bothersome. If he doesn't put it together, but there's always this feeling Joe always talks about it. Madden talks about it. Like, it seems like he's just close to clicking. You know, this close, he's going to. But that's every start, right? And then he walks the bases loaded. The next, you know, Dunst comes in and it's.
I believe I'm right that they are 10-2 his last 12 starts.
Oh, yeah, they're bailing him out. The bats are bailing him out. Right.
I know. I saw the comment was, you know, he doesn't worry about the walks as long as he's not giving up runs and as long as they're winning. Those are some big ifs. You know, how many walks are too many?
Right.
You go down 4-0 in the playoffs, it's a different story than.
I don't think he gets a playoff start.
No. Oh, no. He's not a playoff starter. He hasn't earned the ability to be. He's not a playoff roster.
Well, September.
Then what? You just go with the three and hope Hendricks is and Quintana are better? And I'd rather see Montgomery in there.
You got Lester, Hendricks, Quintana, and if those can't be good enough, you're not winning anyway. Yeah. Plus, you may get Yu Darvish back here.
But
by that point.
In September, when you're if you're protecting a two-game lead and you're playing the Cardinals or the Brewers or whoever, do you trust Tyler Chatwood to start that night? That's the question
they
have to ask themselves.
That's why you'll probably see Cole Hamels here by tomorrow.
You think they're going to make a trade for Cole Hamels by tomorrow?
By this weekend, I do.
You think Cole Hamels is going to be here by Sunday?
Probably.
Have you tweeted that? Have you Instagrammed that? Have you put that out in your social media various platforms?
A little bit.
Why him?
I think that's the guy that I think they could get him for a good price. He's owed $15 million, including his buyout. I think that what I've heard, they're going to take $4 million. Joel Sherman reported this first, so he gets the credit to New York Post. They would pay $4 million, couple secondary-level prospects, and Cole Hamels, away from Texas, has an ERA in the high twos. At Texas, the most homer-happy ballpark
have
in the game
heard
right
that,
now
those
is
splits,
north of five.
That was supposed to convince us Tyler Chatwood was a good idea. Remember that? With the Colorado versus non-Colorado.
But it doesn't mean it's not right for Cole Hamels.
I probably would have rather had Jay Happ, but that didn't happen, and so they got a bid for him. I would bring in Cole Hamels. If you've got Tyler Chatwood, as you said, do you want him in September in a key game?
I have no problem with that. I think Cole Hamels is kind of interesting. I don't know that it swings the balance and says, oh, boy, the Cubs don't have anything to worry about
now. It's an upgrade from Tyler Chatwood, for me.
Do teams win or lose pennants based on their fifth starter? Typically not.
Yeah. Probably not. All right, time for Matt Nagy's Bears to build some callus. Live tackling for the first time at training camp. Good news, first-round pick Roquan Smith did not get a single bump or scratch. That's because he's still not here. And the preseason opener is just a week away.
Join NBC Sports Chicago at Wrigley this summer for Authentic Fan Nights, featuring free giveaways, cheer cards, and live broadcasts in Gallagher Way before the game. For more information, including dates, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Back to work at Bourbon A. Our postcards camp brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Today's postcard features some hitting. First day of live tackling at Bears camp. Oh, my God. And Matt Nagy looks to build some callus on his new football team. I love seeing that they're going to do not crazy amounts, but some.
Yeah, mental toughness as important as physical toughness. You don't want to be reckless in this day and age. You can't be dumb, but it's football. It's dangerous. You have to condition themselves to be hit. They're going to be playing in a game Thursday night, so might as well get out there now.
Yeah, take some hitting, but, you know, with this team and its injury history, anytime somebody gets hit and goes down, it's worrisome. But you're right. You just can't go into that first preseason game, which is a week from today, right?
Yeah.
Without having some contact. So, yeah, you got to start hitting guys.
Yeah, right. Start hitting guys.
But maybe they've had so many injuries and they haven't been hitting. John Fox was so big on not hitting. Same with Trez. Maybe this toughens them up and they get less injuries.
You know how you become injury prone? By worrying about getting injured.
Yeah.
I mean, you're tentative. You're not conditioned to taking your body that kind of punishment. This is not a bad thing. I know people want to make this into some sort of bad trend or negative thing. It's not. Football in July involves hitting. Not like it used to be, but a little, just enough. And I think Matt Nagy's got the right
two football analysts today. One I talked to on the phone, Charles Davis, and another one I read on social media. Both guys said the best wide receiver to come out of the draft class of 2018 is not Calvin Ridley. It is Anthony Miller.
What did they say to the other markets? Did they say this? Their guy that they drafted?
No, these were
okay. Anthony Miller.
Media. It was a National Post.
Anthony Miller.
All right, we're out of here.
Promising rookie. We'll continue this
later. Trust me. That's a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Have a great evening. We'll see you tomorrow for Blackhawks Convention.